Hi, morning. I'm going to share pretty much two models. One is the informal and the other one is the formal. The informal model will probably be from the Graduate Christian Fellowship that I'm heading up and leading, and I'll show you some of the work that we're trying to do, and I don't know why it keeps bouncing back. The Graduate Christian Fellowship and the Biblical Graduate School of Theology in Singapore. I'll run through it quickly. The purpose of the Graduate Christian Fellowship is to serve student, church and society, and it has really three different ways we accomplish this. First is to equip the Christian, the equipping for their Christian walk with Christ in the marketplace. Their professional skills and also their social awareness of where the issues and the problems or challenges are. The other thing that GCF does is we try to link up the body in the marketplace, the professional networks, and also working with church and parachurch and institution. The equipping and the connecting is not for fun. It's really to engage the world in terms of our awareness of what's happening in our society, provide a Christian perspective and a response and initiative. One of the things we do is, informally, is we do worldview training through our fellowship meetings on a monthly basis. So we talk about things like Christian and public square, postmodernity and the gospel, our migrant workers issues in Singapore, harnessing the potential of our youth, what are we educating for in our educational system. Some of the initiative is really exciting. We've just started this year. A group of architects, city planners from the Housing Development Board, and they're coming together to look at how do we begin to infuse kingdom values into the city design of Singapore. And we are doing that in preparation for the response to the government white paper that is coming out towards the end of the year. So we're working through this. The other one is Singapore aborts about 12,000 babies every year. There are a lot of people who are once adoption, but then there's this gap. So there's another group from the ministry, personnel from family services, counselors, and people who have been doing post-trauma counseling for abortion are coming together to see how do we do it more holistically. There is an elder care for aging population. We are looking at missional business and also creation care into actually the city planning as well. So what we're trying to do is to take projects and things and begin to think and help people, push people to think more biblically about how this works in the marketplace. So it's not the teaching to filter down to action, but it's we want to do something, and how do we now do it more Christianly? It's trying to push the envelope from the other way of getting things done. our annual camp has always been about, you know, how Christians engage in the marketplace. our annual dinners, again, we invite people who are researchers from academia. Dr. Matthew Matthews was our speaker on how different we are, but he's a sociologist from the Institute of Public Policy. So we have things like that for people to think through. One of the key programs we have for young adults is called Crossings, Finding Their Calling in the Marketplace. That has been running for the past 6 to 7 years. Every year we have about 15 to 20 people, young adults. This Crossings program basically is a training series promoted by one of the ministries under Graduate Christian Fellowship called Marketplace Christian Network, which I founded, to facilitate the discovery and working out of God's call in the personal life of Christians for marketplace ministry and missions. The whole thing is not a program, it's a process and relationship. It runs over a period of 3 months. with only about 4 teaching sessions, but the young people have small groups as well in terms of assessments and facilitations. And what they walk away with is basically this. They walk away with helping each person to articulate his or her personal calling in the marketplace. And secondly, is to help each person find a marketplace ministry support group. And so by the end of it, they have to write their own personal mission statement through a series of exercises. The focus is about finding God's call in our life, ministry, for ministry and mission, rather than finding our personal fulfillment or self-actualization. So we all do this in terms of a community. Okay, what do? We have teaching sessions, we have coaching group sessions, we have weekend retreats. It's based on the Word and the Spirit. Center of it is the community that we are trying to build among the young adults. We rely heavily on reflection and prayer, and then we have teaching and exercises to help them think through the issues into their marketplace calling. How do we form the picture? We look at their history, their environment, gifts and talents, life experiences, personality and passion. What we found over the years is that the young people who walk out having a vision and a calling was able to sustain much longer in very tough working environment. I've got a young civil servant who has been headhunted. He writes for policies for migrant workers, and I know, sharing me a story, I almost cried, because he said, they were trying to persuade him to give him, you know, double the salary that he's working and so on. And his simple answer to them was, "My work here isn't done yet. Thank you very much." And he puts down the phone. We have got a young lady who was working with cancer patients and as a coordinator, and she herself, at the young age of 25, contracted cancer. She went through the entire treatment, and at the end of it, she came out and said, "I want to go back and do the same work because now I can understand the patients better." And she's a science graduate. So these are the people which we are very excited about in terms of the training program and how we do it. The whole the thing behind this is actually a coaching cycle based on Dr. Gary Collins' book on Christian coaching. And also a lot of the principles are actually based on Paul's book on The Other 6 Days. GCF also have other training thing. Again, we are more practice oriented, but it's through the practice that we begin to challenge ourselves and push the envelope. We have the Christian Medical Dental Fellowship. The lawyers meet up on a monthly basis to pray, and also they have a mentoring program. The doctors have a houseman program. Teachers, the Fellowship for Christian Care Professionals, counselors, psychologists, and so on, they get together and actually work on real cases, and they have a facilitator, because counseling and psychology is a very humanistic subject. And so what they do is they try to work through what are the biblical basis for doing counseling from a biblical value. Business and finance executive, we just started that, and we looked at Western capitalism and the last days. And the challenge was how, seeing that there is a downward trend in Western capitalism, how do Christians now begin to redeem the system by living out simple things even at our workplace? And you know, how do you do? I think the next topic is how much profit is enough. Well, it was going to be something we're going to look at, and from a biblical basis. And then we have also a Christian think tank that we have some of our theological representative from the various schools in Singapore to help us and challenge us to ask the theological question. They're not there to give us the answers, but they're there to help us to think through the questions, point us to resources that we need, that we think are helpful. So this is more of the informal way of looking at theological education, it's through the practice that we begin to see that. And many of our graduates actually go on, our young graduates and people of our members, actually goes on to the Biblical Graduate School of Theology, which is BGST, Singapore. This bit of a history for the Biblical Graduate School of Theology. It was started, and I'm representing BGST as the council member to share this. We started more than 20 years ago by a group of churches who, and the focus was always be training on the whole people of God. So we And many of the people who actually come to BGSD are lay people. We actually train more lay people than we do with our pastors. But we do have the traditional MDiv, MCS program. We offer graduate diplomas and master's level, both. And there's a strong link, again, with Regent College in Vancouver, Canada. And again, Paul is a, has been a great support and adjunct lecturer for us. Hang on a minute. Oh, there we go. I don't know what's happening here, but... okay, BGSD engages the whole people of God. This is our mission. In a trans-denominational community that promotes excellence in learning, together we seek to grow in Christ-likeness and develop an integrated biblical worldview for effective service in the church and the marketplace. I think in Singapore, that's the only Bible school that actually mentions the marketplace. I hope I'm correct in that. And so we look at church and the marketplace, we look at how do we seek to grow in Christ-likeness. And the integrated biblical worldview is very important for us. We're not doing it perfectly, but it's very important for us. We try to work towards that. Student profile, mostly working professionals. Classes are conducted mainly in the evenings because of for a lot of the working people. There are limited. We have limited number of pastors and missionaries. It's a very unfortunate thing, but we don't know how better to do this. Because there are other mainline, there are other seminaries that have been more established, and we are just starting out in that sense. Limited resources to support our overseas students, and so we can't really bring overseas students staying. We don't have the dormitory facilities, and so we just basically have an office. The background is that there's a fast pace of life and its demand on Christian in Singapore. Like Malaysians, you know, if you work 8 hours a day as a professional, you're very lucky. You know, you're very fortunate. 10 to 12 hours, 14 hours is normal. And there's actually a blurring of work life, because when you get home after dinner and having some time with the kid, you turn on the laptop and off you go working again. And it's there is a high cost of living in Singapore. Singapore is now the 6th most expensive city to live in the world. But and I guess Norway is more expensive, right?
Yes.
Number one. and the fact is, a lot of people are now pretty. We are also experiencing a structural unemployment issue. There are many professionals who actually got themselves in debt and. That there isn't enough good paying jobs in that sense. At the very high cost of real estate is a problem for us. We can't have a nice campus because it's way too expensive. Just getting a 2,000-3,000 square feet industrial place costs us a few million dollars. You know, it's incredible. Our student registration are not increasing, and I think again, it's partially the busyness of people, partially it's also the fact that, you know, whether they are really real relevance to what we are actually providing. So that's a lot of soul searching for us as well, thinking through what is. But our tuition fees is only a fifth of what North America education is. You know, so we actually has one of the highest cost, but much lower fees that we are collecting. The reality is we find a lot of crisis and crossroads. When we had a financial crisis, we were struggling to pay down our debt because we wanted, the council in earlier wanted a city spot space. So they got actually a city space right in the middle near the train station and so on. But it was so costly that we were unable to meet our monthly salary and operating cost expenses. The student fees just covered about 10% of our operating cost, and so we had, so there was a fact we had to pretty much sell off, and by God's grace we actually made a profit, was able to cover, we had a capital gain and was able to cover a lot of the other stuff, and move to some place that was more realistic for us. We also had the leadership issue. There was no succession planning. The founder was pretty much was principal for the past 20 years, and there was no proper succession planning. So we ended up having some issues in terms of the transitions. Several new faculties arrived after finishing a PhD from the UK, and so again, but they were very young, and so there was this big gap between those who are a few very experienced and a few very young faculty. Very enthusiastic, and so in terms of our system, we actually look at the Christ-likeness from our mission statement. We wanted to be more Christ-like. We have that. We want to be academic and biblical. We have academic and biblical excellence. We are trying to do that. But one thing that we haven't really thought of in the past, which we are doing now, is really financial sustainability. And I think that's a big issue for many Bible colleges throughout the region, not just in North America. Major challenges in the last 3 years is we sold our premise to pay down the debt and move to a rental property, and then we bought without debt a new premise now. So we got rid of all the debts that we have. Second is a second principle. After more than 20 years, we reduced the faculty from 8 to 4 to cut down the. And what we have right now is a long list of adjunct faculty who are also having other sort of livelihood, you know, in terms of earning their keeps. And that has been a good model for us. And also we could get a lot more marketplace people input into the system. We're trying a new curriculum in an attempt to integrate and contextualize with Asian history and culture. We are starting a cohort system to foster community building. We find that learning is much better done in community. In previous years, people just kind of sign up and then they take courses individually. And some of them never graduate because they drag on and on and on. And they sometimes don't even submit their papers because they just keep going on and on and on. So we found that a cohort system provides a certain level of accountability and moving forward. We are also trying to increase the use of online learning. So it's not just pure online, but it's a combination of both to help people to begin to fit into that very hectic work life and busy lifestyle, and trying to find spaces to actually get ourselves equipped for kingdom work. We're trying to leave for each subject course, each course or subject, that there's a 20% of integrative and applied work that is being applied to work and workplaces. The difficulty lies again in the experiences of the faculty. It is very challenging for them, although they want to do that, is the lack of experience in the marketplace sometimes. Most of them already have some marketplace experiences, but because they have to go through, you know, the MD, the doctorate degree, the postdoc research, it takes a lot of time away from the workplace. And so those are the reality and struggles that we have. The true challenges is how can theological training be more relevant to our work and life? I think this is a question that we are constantly struggling with. We don't have all the answers, but we are struggling with, and we are happy to struggle with all of you together. The other one is, how can Western-style theological training be more relevant to Asian culture and history? A lot of what we can or cannot do is actually tied down by the accreditation bodies. We find that has been one of the limiting factors for better or for worse. Now, there are pros and cons to it. I'm the radical, and I propose, you know, junk it. but, you know, unfortunately for those who are sort of people looking for work, you know, within a church-based structure, they do need accreditation. So we do understand that, and accreditation does give a certain level of understanding of that credibility of the program. So again, it's very difficult. struggle of what to do while trying to change, and then you have all these other parameters test. And the other one is, how can theological education counter an increasing type of secularism? I think more and more people are looking at theological education and go, why that? And unfortunately, many of the mega churches' pastors are not really theologically trained, but they're attracting droves of people. And it's a problem. Are we training pastors and elders or lay people to really engage, and are we able to craft the gospel in a way that is attractive to the younger generation these days? Of course, some people are attracted to false teaching. We all know that, but how do we struggle and deal with this? These are real challenges for us. I really don't have the answers. One of the models for financial sustainability, and anyway, these slides are done by my chairman, not me, so I'm not that smart. Facilities, operations, and gift and endowment are really the three major things that help us to sustain that. We need to increase enrollment, and we need to increase our supporters. Again, it's not easy to find supporters to give to theological education for people in the marketplace, because many of the supporters say, but those people who are marketplace people are really rich. Not everybody get paid that, you know, big $10,000 a month salary, and they have other responsibilities and the cost. So it becomes it's not so easy. Work in progress. They are more effective use of adjunct or part-time faculty to complement our limited full-time faculty. I think that's one of the things we are working on. The use of online learning to complement group meetings and in-class lectures. That's one of the hybrid model that we're working with. The creation of more marketplace resources that combines theology with other vocational and business disciplines. So one of the things we started is on globalization and capitalism is one of the courses that's being offered. Another one is actually engaging culture, and part of that was actually to watch a movie. You know, how do we engage culture through movies and understanding that? So that's it. Thank you.